Stealing Focus!
Well, well, well.
Hello!
It is the week before the Tonys.
Ah.
The Tony Awards are coming up on Sunday. And we might be able to watch them in vlog. We might not. We have a show that night.
Probably not.
You should come see it if you're in the LA area.
Yeah, Hollywood.
Hollywood Fringe. But if we can, we're going to vlog about it. But on the off chance that we can't, we thought we would do a vlog and talk about one of the other shows, one of the big contenders for the Tony Awards. Way down.
Hadestown, way down under the ground.
Yes. Oh, yeah. My gosh. So we got to see Hadestown back in March.
Yes.
And we got to see a final dress rehearsal, the final dress rehearsal. It was right before, it was the night before they started their previews.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I want to take it over to Jeff here.
Yeah.
Emily Clark, Jeff
hey.
Scott Carey, by
Jeff
the
Gary.
Way.
Hello.
But I wanted Jeff to kind of tell everyone watching, how did we get to see this?
So my cousin is Liam Robinson. He is the music director and he did the vocal arrangements for Hadestown. He's been with this show for 3 years now. He's known Anais Mitchell a little bit longer than that, but he through their folk, bluegrassy type New York music connections, not necessarily musical theater connections,
right.
Just music. He ended up as the MD when they did the Off-Broadway run in 2016, and then he stayed with the show through the Edmonton run and through the London run, which was last fall. And now they had been, you know, and they had been sort of hoping to go to Broadway in the spring of 2019, which is exactly what happened. And that was the first time we got to see it. We just missed him in London.
Yeah, we were in London last summer and we got to see some West End shows.
Yeah.
And the Hadestown just hadn't opened yet.
Came a little bit later.
Kind of just missed it. And so this trip was really exciting because just because of kind of the way fate was working, we saw three shows on the, in the 1 week we were in New York, and two of them were invited dress rehearsals.
Yeah.
So the other one, Oklahoma, was the only one we have a program for because the other two we saw were final dresses. And it, the other one we got to see an invited final dress for was Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Oh, that was incredible.
And just because it, that was just a crazy turn of fate.
Yeah.
Because we are friends with Matthew Murphy.
Yeah.
And if you are familiar with Broadway in the past few years, you've seen Matt Murphy's work because he is kind of one of the Broadway photographers. So he was shooting the new cast. They were doing the cast two of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. And we were there and he just said, hey, I have these invited dress tickets. I'm shooting it today. You want to come? So we were so, so lucky because never in a million years. Like that's going to be a whole other video, us talking about Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. But then a couple days later, we got to go to the Walter Kerr Theater and see the invited dress for Hadestown. And that was fun because Matt was shooting that as well. And not just Matt, but Joan Marcus, who is the other big Broadway photographer.
The two huge Broadway photographers.
Yeah, right, yeah. So we saw Hadestown at the Walter Kerr. And we saw Harry Potter at the Lyric Theater. And the Lyric Theater is beautiful. It's humongous. And it has to be to accommodate a show like that.
Yep.
The Walter Kerr is a much more intimate Broadway space. It actually kind of reminded me of a West End theater in a lot of ways. Because West End theaters are a lot, it's a lot more vertical. But we managed, we sat in the front row of the mezzanine because the orchestra, the middle section of the orchestra was taken up by Matt Murphy and Joan Marcus taking a million publicity shots. But there were people seated on the side too. So we were like, wait a second, we don't want to sit down there because we're going to get, we're going to have brilliant photographers in our way the whole time. So we sat front row of the mezz hanging over like that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Now, Hadestown, I did not know much about, really at all. All I knew was that it was adapted from the Orpheus and Eurydice myth. And it was adapted into like a folky, jazzy New Orleans.
Album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, well, yeah. So it was adapted into a Broadway show.
From Anais Mitchell's concept album of the same name.
Yeah. So backtracking, jumping all over the place. So Hadestown started as a concept album. If you saw our Rocket Man review, we kind of talked about jukebox musicals.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mentioned that there's a small offshoot, in my opinion. I don't know, this is like the proven thesis, but that concept albums that became Broadway shows kind of have their own little category here, like American Idiot or The Who's Tommy. Yep. However, Hadestown is very different because if you've heard the original concept album, there are songs that have disappeared and new songs have shown up and it's been changed and adapted to work for a Broadway stage. The show had a big run off-Broadway and in London, like you said.
Yep.
And the only albums you can find right now until that Broadway cast album comes out any day now, the closest you can find is the 2017 album. And a lot of different cast members in that. One of the other big fun connections, seeing Oklahoma at the same time as Hadestown, is that Damon Downo? I don't know how to pronounce your name. I'm very sorry. But we saw him as the lead in Oklahoma. He was Curly, and he was wonderful. He was really, really good. And he played the role of Orpheus off-Broadway and before. And now it's being played by Reeve Carney.
Yeah.
And Reeve Carney was Spider-Man. He was Spider-Man and Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. That's his big credit.
Yes.
And so now they're both in the same Tony season, but he's just, and he's also playing kind of a folk singer with a guitar, singing some falsetto notes, just in a completely different show. He's doing it in Oklahoma now.
Yeah, and there's a lot of similarities musically from the new version of Oklahoma that they did and Hadestown. It's very stripped down, band on stage. In fact, the MD, Liam Robinson's the MD of Hadestown, his assistant is now the MD of Oklahoma. There's a lot of crossover, including the leading man.
Yeah. We have some other actors who have switched up from the original production to the Broadway production. One of the biggest surprises was the very first character you really see in the show is Hermes. And I just about died when we were in the front row, and I was like, Andre DeShields! Broadway legend Andre DeShields! I had no idea he was in it. He was amazing. He has that trademark voice like that. He was so great.
I did know he was in it because he did the London production, and Liam, my cousin, had told me he was a real coup for them to get him. Like, they'd been trying to get him, and so when they got him to play this role, it was like, perfect.
But he is not on that recording, which is the other thing. The guy who's playing Hermes in the cast recording is a guy named Chris Sullivan, who you might know as
Taserface.
Yeah, he's got this great soulful, like New Orleans, like folky country singer voice, which is totally different than Andre DeShields, obviously, but it's like a really cool contrast. So they also have a new Eurydice. Her name is Eva Noblezada, and she's nominated for a Tony Award. I don't know how the original girl was. Her name was Nabiha Bey.
And didn't see her either.
She sounds great on the album, though. But the best thing about Hadestown is that the original Hades and Persephone are doing it on Broadway. Amber Gray and Patrick Page.
Oh, yes.
And I will remember Amber Gray's performance as Persephone till I die. Like, when she came in for her second act song, that, brother, what's my name? Our Lady of the Underworld. I was like, this woman needs to get the Tony Award right now.
Yeah.
She's like Eartha Kitt and Bernadette Peters and like a little bit of Liza Minnelli combined. She is just an old Broadway star in the best possible way. Obviously, her voice is amazing, but she's an actor first.
Yeah.
I don't know if she considers herself as such, but like she's like an old Broadway star. She is giving a performance that's rough and raw, and she's dancing like a crazy person and screaming, and you're just there for it.
She's living on stage. It's a really incredible performance too.
And Patrick Page has a very long Broadway career. He's been, in fact, he and Reeve Carney were both in Spider-Man.
Yeah, I saw him in
So they are paired up as villain and hero yet again.
Yep.
He was Green Goblin.
Yeah.
So Patrick Page as Hades is a really exciting thing to see on stage. If for the fact that, like, we finally have something lower than a tenor for a boy to sing on stage. You know, there's a lot to love about the talent on Broadway these days, but I get bummed out that everything is so homogenous. I think Next Normal is a great example of this. It's an almost 10-year-old show, but like it's a show with something like, I don't know, 5 or 6 characters in it, and all the male voices sound exactly the same, even though they are, even like the dad character, he sounds like a tenor pop star. And I miss baritones, proper baritones, and I don't know if basses have ever really had a strong Broadway life. Like, no. The only one I can really think of is whatever that priest is in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Anais.
Yeah.
Strangely, the same name as Anais.
No, I thought it was Annas. Caiaphas and Annas.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Caiaphas and Annas.
Yeah. So Patrick Page was coming out and singing lower than Johnny Cash. Low that it wasn't even notes
like
anymore.
Vibrations.
And you just feel the vibrations.
It's crazy.
And the first line he says is, Persephone's dancing it up and living it up on top and partying. And Hades shows up and she's like, you're early. And he goes,
I missed you.
It's my favorite thing to say nowadays. It's incredible.
She does it all the time. I had seen Patrick Page in Spider-Man. I saw him as a Green Goblin, and I loved his voice. And you could tell it was very rich, really low
he
bass.
He was Frollo in Hunchback.
Yeah.
So you can just imagine hearing him sing Hellfire.
Yeah.
He is phenomenal. It's really cool because it feels like he's really finally getting his due as a musical theater performer.
Oh, he's so great in this show. He's unbelievable.
I don't think we made it clear, but we really fucking loved
this. Yeah.
We loved this show.
Yeah,
I wept. It's one of those shows where you know what's gonna happen.
Yep.
And they tell you from the top. They say it's an old song, it's a sad song, but we're gonna sing it again. Yeah. And it's like Moulin Rouge in that way, not to give Moulin Rouge too much credit, but it's the idea that you know how the Orpheus and Eurydice myth ends. It's very well known, you know? And the basic story is there. Orpheus is with Eurydice. The big changes they make from the myth is they give Eurydice a lot more agency. In the myth, she's just bitten by a snake. In this version, Orpheus is so obsessed with writing his song. He's still an amazing musician. He's supposed to be the son of Apollo, so he's just like the best musician in the world. Mm. In Hades Town, he's so obsessed with writing his song that Eurydice is like, freezing and starving, you need a job. And then basically Hades shows up and he and Persephone are fighting again. And he's because they're fighting all the time, that's their thing. Because again, tying into the Persephone myth, she's up above ground 6 months out of the year for the spring. And then the other 6 months she's down with Hades underground. And they've got this bickering thing going on. So Hades basically says, all right, I'm gonna find someone else. And then he stumbles upon Eurydice and he does his little, hey, little songbird. Mm-hmm. And she's like, cool, I'm going to go with this guy. I'm going to go with this guy and like, I won't be hungry anymore.
Right.
And then she gets to Hades and she realizes that she's kind of toiling and working and like losing, you know, who she is. Then in the second act, Orpheus, he basically makes his way down to Hades, finds Eurydice, and they make the pact. You know, Hades says, you can go, but you can't look behind you. I promise you she's behind you, and you can't look behind you until you get out.
So cruel. Such
and
a cruel
it's all about faith and being able to trust in something. And it's, you know, famous part of the myth. He gets all the way to the end, and then he loses his faith, and he turns behind, and he sees
just
her right
had
before
check.
She's
just had to check.
Sucked away.
Yeah.
And that essentially happens in, you know, spoiler alert, that's what happens in Hades Town, because it's the story of Orpheus and Eurydice. That's the tale.
Yeah.
And they, you know, all the characters are named after the Greek gods. It's not like taking Romeo and Juliet and making it West Side Story. It's the Orpheus and Eurydice myth, but it's told in this folky way.
Yeah.
Now the whole idea, the look of the show is that they are in, looks like a dive bar in New Orleans.
Absolutely.
Everyone's like just partying it up and having a grand old time. Persephone shows up and it's like, woo! The band is all on stage, multiracial, and lots of men and women in the band, so that was really cool. And same with the cast, very diverse. There are the Fates. There are like maybe 6 ensemble people.
Yeah, it's like a 5 or 6 ensembles.
Yeah.
Like the people in the ensemble who just play various parts. But mostly like help tell the story with the Fates as ensemble.
They're really great. They're really
characters.
Great.
What they do with them is really, really cool creatively with the choreography, the movement. It all serves this brilliant story, and the way that this story is told, like, perfectly.
It's a very tall stage. So what happens is they're all in this, like, dive bar hanging out, and then Eurydice goes to Hadestown, and then Hermes is like, okay, we gotta figure out how to get you there. And then the stage kind of starts splitting apart and stretching, and looking, it looks like these pipes go up forever. So it gives the feel, and these huge heat lamps come down, and then the actors are like swinging them, and it looks really great. And it gives you the sense that you are down below now, and look, and the world is really high above, and you are in Hadestown.
Yeah.
So it's a really cool look. The show was written by Anais Mitchell. So she wrote the concept album. So she did the music, the lyrics, all the music. And then the show was developed and directed by Rachel Chavkin. This is the rare occurrence where we have a full, pretty much production team of women making this show happen. And that doesn't happen very much.
It happened with Waitress.
Not
very often.
Yeah, more and more. It's really great. How would you describe the music?
It's just my jam. It's so earthy and bluegrassy and folky. And like you said, the New Orleans jazz is really what gives it its edge to me. I'm not even sure that, like, how to describe the musicality of it other than that. It's just, you feel like you're just in Bourbon Street in the quarter, like,
and everyone's just having a party.
Yeah, just some random night where, like, just this magic kind of happens.
Yeah, and Persephone is kind of the leader of all of it. She comes in and she's like, we're gonna party. She's got a flask in her purse.
She's like the songbird. Like, she's like the leader of the club, basically. She's like the songstress, or what would you call her? Just like the lead singer at your favorite bar.
Yeah.
You know, and she's crooning and like just flapping all over the place. It's pretty great.
So it's really interesting because half of the story is Orpheus and Eurydice, but the other half is really Hades and Persephone. And throughout mythology, they've had very turbulent relationship. You know, he essentially took her away without asking, without consent. But in this version, they give the feeling that they're more like this couple that have drifted apart. And she misses her autonomy, and he misses her when she goes away.
Yeah.
And a big arc of theirs in the show is them kind of learning how to come back together and fall in love.
It's a really cool, I love the way that Hades is portrayed, and he is portrayed this way in myth. He's not all God, he's a little bit man. He has like both kind of tendencies toward him, I think. Like, it's more interesting.
He's a god, but it's more
interesting than just sort of, like, I played Hades in the Disney version.
The Disney version is not mythology.
Right. So when you're watching Hercules as a kid, and I played Hades on Disney Cruise Line, and it's very different. The James Woods character in Hercules, the Disney version, is very just like angry god all the time, and he doesn't really have those kind of humanistic qualities.
Yeah, Hades in mythology is not like Satan.
Right.
He's not the devil. Yeah. He is death. He's the personification.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times those lines are blurred and people think of Hades as the devil.
Yeah.
In Judeo-Christianity, it's not quite the same. But
There's a lot of really great songs. It's hard because, again, the Broadway cast album isn't out yet. It's supposed to be out, like, I don't know, maybe even right
soon.
Maybe really soon.
Yeah, I'm sure they're
But not now. Every song from the show is on the Spotify, basically. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know,
the
original cast album or the live recording.
Yeah.
So I can only kind of tell you from memory from hearing all this stuff, but there are some really amazing songs in this show. Parts of it feels like musical theater, and parts of it just feels like, you know, a folk song that you would hear jamming in a dive bar.
Yeah, sometimes it feels like you're just watching a band.
The essential nature of that being the call and response.
Yeah.
The simplicity of verse, chorus. Sometimes that doesn't always work. I don't really like it when Andrew Lloyd Webber does that. But when it comes to folky music like this, which is meant to be, you know, you sing the chorus that everyone in the bar can kind of sing along with, that's kind of the vibe you get with this show.
Production-wise, there's a lot of similarities, at least for me. Like, one of my favorite musicals is Passing Strange. The combination of music, band, and musical theater performers on stage all together is a really great mix. You don't see it done brilliantly all that often, and this is definitely done brilliantly.
Yeah, I would say Rent kind of normalized that idea, and now I feel like you're hard-pressed to see a Broadway show where the band isn't on stage.
Yeah, but I mean, interactive...
We're going to deconstruct it and put, like, a rock band on stage. It's so different.
Right, but the interaction between... In Hadestown, the interaction is so natural. There's, like, a scene where she's doing a toast, and everybody in the band, like, holds up a glass and drinks with them.
The top of
they're involved in the show.
The top of the second act, when she's singing her song, she introduces every band member.
Yeah.
Which you never see in a Broadway show. And she does it individually, which is really great.
Which is what happens when you go see a live band singing, playing. Exactly. So that has that feel.
It was really so that's another really exciting moment when you hear her go and Liam Robinson on the keys. It's great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really amazing songs that get really stuck in your head in this show. There's this song called "Why We Build the Wall," which is crazy considering Anais Mitchell wrote this album back in 2010 or something like that. 2010. Yeah. So way before Donald Trump was even like a glimmer in our eyes.
He was still an asshole, but
But walls, we weren't really talking about building walls. No. And now it's so, I don't know, maybe it's just the natural progression of things, but this song exists where Hades is like, why do we build the wall? My children. And it's so good. It's how they end the first act.
It's a really interesting song. It kind of evolves as the song goes. It keeps like building upon itself.
Yeah.
Very different from most song structure.
There's so many great songs where you just like are stomping your feet and singing along. The opening number, Hermes is introducing all the characters, and it's so great because, okay, so I don't know if you guys have heard about this musical called Bright Star. It's this musical that Steve Martin wrote with Edie Brickell. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure it's Edie Brickell. And I saw it, a year or two ago when it was on tour. And the opening number kind of introduces all the characters. However, they introduce all the characters not by name. They just kind of come out and stand there in different poses. And then the show goes on, and then I kind of had to figure out who all these characters were. I was extremely lost. It was a very bad way to introduce these characters. I'm sorry, Steve. Well, you guys were there. But Hadestown worked really well because they take the time to say, these are these people. This is this guy. I'm Hermes. I'm your narrator. Like, it works so well. And you applaud and you get really excited. And I don't know. I really like that a lot.
Yeah,
it has...
I mean, it's a connective thing with the audience when you do things like that.
Yeah.
It brings the audience into the story in a way that doesn't seem to happen sometimes in proscenium musicals where it's very like there's a separation there.
A bunch of the actors got Tony nominations. It has 14 Tony noms. I hope it sweeps because I really loved it. I'm torn between Ali Stroker from Oklahoma and Amber Gray from Hadestown for Best Supporting Actress in a Musical. I would be happy if either one wins.
We should just call it the Oklahoma Hadestown Tonys.
I hope so, because they were both amazing productions that I really, really loved. I liked that Hadestown is something new and yet old at the same time. I like that it's kind of going back to the roots of Broadway and yet bringing some fresh new elements to it. Which I could say also for Oklahoma. Oklahoma is the original book musical, and we have never really messed with it that much. And now we finally have a production that does. Yeah, and so it's really, I don't know, I think it's a really exciting time for musical theater. And the Tony Awards is going to be full of a bunch of shows that are also really exciting in their own ways, like The Prom.
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of other, really fun shows coming up, too.
Yeah.
So, let's give this Tony crop its due. There's a lot of great shows.
It's a good season.
Yeah.
So, we really liked Hadestown. We highly recommend it.
You said something that was interesting. It feels like this show has always been there. Like, it feels like it's always sort of been in the zeitgeist, and it's actually pretty new.
Yeah, well, it's because it's taking elements that are old, like the Orpheus and Eurydice myth, New Orleans folky jazz,
and gritty
grassroots music, a cast of people that have kind of been working with this show as it's come up.
It's like the little show that could.
Yeah, and but going, then you get elements like the fact that we are living in a world now where there's more and more women in the production teams of Broadway musicals. Yep. You add to it the stuff that the fact that it has an extremely diverse cast, that it has a bass on stage, as in like a singer bass. Yeah. I think there's a stand-up bass too, or upright bass.
Yeah, upright
bass. And this kind of music that you don't usually hear on a Broadway stage, but it works. And I would love to see more and more Broadway musicals that incorporate this kind of stuff. Again, going back to Bright Star, and even shows like The Band's Visit, you know, shows that kind of take this music that you don't usually hear on stage and making it work on a Broadway stage. The folk musicization of Oklahoma, you know, taking it out of those Broadway roots and stripping it down to barn dance.
It's just unbelievable that hadn't happened before. That made so much sense to do that.
So I think it's all these old elements being mixed with the new that make you feel like you're watching something completely fresh. And you are. Hadestown is completely fresh and exciting. It's invigorating. Like being in the house on that invited dress where everyone there was like a friend or a familiar of, you know, someone in the show, and just
it was so
feeling
electric.
That energy and feeling everyone laugh and cry and clap and cheer. One of the biggest problems though was because it was an invited dress, there was no concessions whatsoever. Yeah. Jeff got this as
a gift. Merch. I was devastated. Merch. I really want my Hadestown zippy. So, Liam, hook me up, bro.
So they end the first act with Persephone going, "Anybody want a drink?" Boom. And I was like, I really, really do. But they're not serving any.
I didn't even think about that.
So think about, with that show, you feel like, because she's like knocking back flasks and everyone's like stomping and drinking and they're all toasting and living it up on top. And I was just like, oh, I want to have a drink with you, Persephone. Yeah.
So obviously this is a huge deal for Liam, my cousin, Liam Robinson. His other Broadway show was War Horse. He's a musician, mostly a musician, but also a composer. We were lucky enough to go, as she said, to the invited dress because we weren't going to be there to see it again.
Yeah.
The time.
Yeah.
But many other people in my family did make it there for the opening, and that's why I got the hat. I got it for my birthday. Thank you, Aunt Jane. That's Liam's mom. They had a blast. They got to go up on stage. I got pictures from my sister. Take a look at these. You can get a little bit of an idea of what the set looks like.
So go see it. It's a really good show. We really liked Hadestown.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous show. Obviously, brilliant musical, and the cast is fantastic. Mm-hmm. You can't beat it. I hope it wins a lot of Tonys.
I hope it sweeps the Tonys. I hope it wins them all. I will be very happy. So if we don't do a vlog about the Tony Awards, we're sorry, but hopefully this and our Oklahoma review will make up for it, because I'm going to sweep the whole thing. It's going to be great. Go way down to Hadestown.
Way down, Hadestown, way down under the ground.
All right, bye everybody.
Bye guys.
Thanks for listening to Stealing Focus.
You can find more musical reviews on our YouTube channel and Facebook page, and of course, more podcast episodes available on iTunes.